you, Angela. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we, on this Christmas morning, we want, through your Holy Spirit, to ask that you speak very clearly to us now through your word. Amen. We're going to look at the Christmas story today, and what we're going to be learning is we're going to be looking at three different reactions to the fact that Jesus is born and is Saviour of the world. And as you can see, I've got five boxes on the stage, so I need five young helpers to come up. It could well be that they get to take a cracker home afterwards. And when we look inside these boxes, it's going to help us to understand and find out a little bit more about the Christmas story. Right, okay, so I think I promised Angela and Mitzi, would you like to come up? Right, I need three more. Is that your hand, David or Ella? Or is it, well, whoever's hand it is, would you like to come on up? Would you like to take a seat? Don't open those envelopes yet. Right, I need two more. Okay, is that Lexi there? Right, okay, where's Lexi? I can't see Lexi, but she is there. So we need one more. Oh, it's not Lexi. Oh, it's Lexi's mum. Oh, Lexi's mum. Well, that's fair enough. Okay, well, there we are. There's no age limit, and I'm not being rude there. No. Lexi's mum. Did I have another hand up? We're not going on until we get five, so it'll be less time for opening. Another hand at the back. I can't see. That must be David this time, is it? Yeah, he's in disguise, David. Right, come on up, David. It is, right. Now, you'll need to just hold your envelope, but don't open it yet. All right? Don't open it yet. Right, welcome. Yes, no rush, David. No rush. Take your time. Good, though. He does look smart. I'm afraid you're lumbered with the yellow envelope, but don't open them yet. Okay, don't open them yet. So, the Christmas story. And the passage started off with those words, in those days. And people often ask, exactly when was it? Was it 1 AD, 1 BC? We don't really know. It was probably round about BC, but it doesn't really matter. People say, what time of year was it? We don't know that it was December. Evidently, the shepherds kept their flocks in the fields between November and April. But sometimes they kept them other times of the year. So we don't really know, but it doesn't matter. What we do know is the story happened. And we know that for a number of reasons. For instance, the guy Quirinius, we see him in many literature, apart from the Bible. We know that the Romans did have these census every now and again. And it's a way of just counting up the number of people. Where it says in that translation, over the whole world, a more accurate translation would probably mean over the Roman Empire. They made sure that everyone was paying their taxes. So one thing we can be sure of, that this story really did happen. Right, now, guys, could you open your envelopes? And inside you'll have a number 1, 2, 3 and 4. And whoever's got number 1 would like to come up and open the box. Who's got number 1? Right, Ella, would you like to open box number 1 and tell us what you can see inside? Would you like to open the box? No, that's a cracker. You can have that in a minute, but open the box. There is a handle. And who do you see inside? Mary and Joseph, that's brilliant. Okay, let's have it. We'd like to go and tell. So they are two of us. Say where you are. You're happy to stay there to the end. That's great. Don't open your crackers. You can do those when you get home. So we come to Mary and Joseph, and there we are. They had a long journey to go because they had to go back to their hometown. It was about 70 miles, and you may wonder why they didn't go by train. Well, it's obvious, isn't it? There was a train strike. And seriously, it was a long journey. We don't exactly know how long it was, but Mary and Joseph were very, very key people in this story. They were specially chosen by God. They were people who really believed in God, and we're told that Mary was actually pregnant. And her pregnancy, or being pregnant, had nothing to do with Joseph, because it was a miraculous pregnancy. It was a pregnancy through God's, through the Holy Spirit, that she was pregnant. They're engaged to be married. They weren't quite married yet. It was almost as if they were married, but the honeymoon, as it were, they weren't really, really married until after Jesus had been born. And I think Luke, when he said firstborn, I think Luke just wanted to make it clear that Mary really was a virgin. This really was a very, very a miraculous birth. So they arrived at Bethlehem, and it was very, very busy, because there were a lot of other people who were doing exactly the same thing as Joseph was. They were going back to register to their hometown. Right, who's got number two? You've waited very patiently. Mitzi, would you like to come to number two? Now, it just so happens, I hope this works, there's a doorbell. It's very posh. They've all got a handle. But number two's actually got a doorbell. So fingers crossed that it works. You'd like to press it? Wow. I'm afraid there's no trick you've got on me. Thank you. And who said I was no good at technology? Right, would you like to open the door? Anyway, we'd like to just open it up. Just open the door by the handle. And who do you see inside? Who do you see inside? What do you see it's a picture of? Someone?
It looks like that.
It looks like that. It looks just like that. Thank you very much, Mitzi. There's your cracker. Would you like to go and sit down?
I am not Mitzi, I'm Indiana.
You are Indiana. Mitzi, I'm ever so sorry. Am I forgiven, Mitzi? I tell you what, Mitzi, seeing that was a terrible mistake, I think it's only true that I give you a cracker now. Am I forgiven? No, I don't think I am, actually. Right, okay. Now, we don't know that it was the high street. What we do know, actually, the Bible does say the inn. And I don't know why it said the inn. It could well be that there was only one inn. We don't know for sure. Bethlehem actually wasn't, although it talked about the city of David, it wasn't a very big town. So they got, and they knocked on the door. And I wonder, do you think that they thought that God had made a mistake? No mistakes had been made so far. Had God really made a mistake? Was it really meant to be that there was nowhere for baby Jesus to be born? But of course, God hadn't made a mistake. For a start, we knew, God had predicted years, hundreds of years beforehand, that the birth would take place in Bethlehem. And there they were, for amazing set of circumstances, they were arrived at Bethlehem. They got there safely. But God was certainly, God was totally in charge of the situation. Now, we don't know how they got into the stable. We're not sure that it was a stable. All we know is that there was a manger there. It could have been the innkeeper who took pity. But what we do know, when in fact, we know three things for sure. Now, number three. It's about time we open number three. Right, David, you've waited very patiently. Would you like to open door number three and tell me what you can see inside? What can you see inside? It's a... Can you say it again?
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus. Brilliant. Okay, there's your cracker. Shall we put the photo on the screen? So what we do know from verse 7, what we do know is that Jesus was a boy. We know that he was in a manger, and a manger was an animal feeding trough. It might have had straw in, but it doesn't tell us that. They may have just packed it with blankets. And the other thing, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now you may think, goodness me, poor baby Jesus, but actually swaddling clothes was the way that babies were wrapped in those ways. So yes, Jesus could have been born in the equivalent of a hospital in those days, but he was just born in a very ordinary way. I don't think it was a very awful way. I'm sure there were many other babies born in just the same circumstances as Jesus. But the point is, he became one of us. He was just ordinary. There was nothing. He was just like you and I. And I think that's why God made it, that he should be born in just a very, very ordinary place. Right, I think we need to jump from there and go from Bethlehem and find ourselves up in the middle of a field with some shepherds. Now, these shepherds were looking after a flock. And once again, we're not sure that they were sheep. They probably were. Probably some goats as well. Well, they are sheep. Well, I think Indiana disagrees with me on that one. And you may well be right. Maybe it was just sheep and no goats at all. And you may wonder why it was the shepherds that God came to. Why didn't he come to carpenters? Why didn't he come to decorators? Why didn't he come to farmers or tax collectors? He came to shepherds. But can I just park that? And that's just a little in-joke between Claire and myself. Can I just part that, and we'll come back to that later? Because I think that is very, very important while God came to the shepherds. Now, well, can I just say, I'll give you a little hint what that might be. The shepherds were quite rough individuals sometimes. They were a little bit coarse, I suppose you might say. And I think that may give you a hint of why God chose them. But then something very special happened. Can you just give me 2 moments, the person with number 4? Just 2 moments. Thank you very much. Right, okay. Would number 4 like... Who's got number 4? Ah, Lex's mum. Would you like to come? Well, would someone that... Oh, Indiana. This might... Mitzi, rather. All right. That was intentional. No, it wasn't. Mitzi, would you like to come up and just open the box? Well, she might come up with Mum or Dad, yes. On the other hand, she might not. Joshua, would you like to come up? Is that all right? Can Joshua come up? That's very kind of you. Right, Joshua. The problem is Joshua will get the cracker. Is that all right? You're happy about that. Right, Joshua, could you open door number 4? Can you open it? Right, okay, ready. Put it right open. Wow. Oh, no. Oh, dearie me. What on earth has happened? Shall we just open it? Can everyone see? Oh, dear. Oh, you can't see it. Wow. That's absolutely amazing. Yeah. Have a good look. It's amazing, isn't it? Okay. Would you like to go and sit down? I know you can't really see, can you? Absolutely amazing. This... amazing light, this bright light, brighter than the shepherds had ever seen before. And these shepherds were fairly hardened people. And they were, the Bible says that they were amazed, they were scared. Verse 10 is a very significant and a very encouraging verse, I think. Because verse 10 says, quick as a flash, right, the shepherds were afraid, got that? Quick as a flash, the angel said, fear not. Or actually, I prefer it in another version where it says, do not be afraid. The angel of the Lord, who was probably God himself, knew that the shepherds were perplexed. They were afraid. They were scared out of their lives. And the angel of the Lord just said, not be afraid, fear not. I just pause there and think, I wonder how many, well, there are people, and I'm sure they are in church at the moment, who are going through difficult times, either in their own lives or the lives of someone that they love. And they want those reassuring words from God of fear not, do not be afraid. And that's what Christmas is about. Do not be afraid, fear not, trust in God, because Christmas is about good news of great, great joy. So the shepherds, having seen those angels, decided, they were still a bit unsure about all this, but they decided that they needed to find out for themselves. I think it was helped by the fact that a multitude of angels joined the one. And the shepherds were scared with one, and a multitude is probably 1,000 or more. One can't imagine that scene, but it was enough to persuade the shepherds that they needed to go into Bethlehem and find out for themselves. Right, I think we're just about ready for number 5. Who hasn't been up? You've been so patient, Angela, so very, very patient. Would you like to go up and open box number 5? You're going to go with her, are you? Thank you, Indiana. You're going to do it together, isn't that like? Can you open box number 5? Can you open box number 5 and tell me what's inside? A crown. A what? A crown. A crown. It is. Would you like to put it on? No, I don't think you'll be able to. Indiana, would you like to be able to put the crown on? Because you've got some... Oh, are you going to... I'm going to say it was a bit difficult over antlers. You're going to put your crown on. That is absolutely great. Okay. Would you all like to go and... sit down now. You can go back to your mummies. All right. Shall we leave the crown there? Is that all right? I'm going to turn that off in a moment. It's all right. I think she's going to be health and safety when she gets older. All right. So what I will do is I will just... Would you like to go and... All right. You can look after the crown for me. All right. Is that all right? Right. Do you want to go back to your chairs? Lexi's mum, thanks very much. Would you like a cracker to give to Lexi? Yeah, come on. All right, not allowed to open until you get home. Yes, of course you can have the envelope. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right, okay, good.
Thank you.
Lexi's mum is tidy, just like I am. Right, okay, great, thanks. I'm just going to unplug this, if that's okay, because... That's great. Okay. Now, what? Right, everyone sitting, come to me. What are we going to say? I said at the beginning that this story tells us about three different reactions to Jesus. And the first reaction is no room for Jesus. My good friend David preached a couple of weeks ago about the arrival of the shepherds, of the wise men. And amongst many of the things that he said was that Herod is a picture of a lot of us nowadays. Of rejecting Jesus. Now, Herod did it in an extreme way. Because, as you know, Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Not only Jesus, but all babies under the age of 2. But a lot of people don't do it in quite the same extreme way as that. That, yes, they believe in Christmas. They do believe in Christmas. And I met a number of people yesterday, and it was delightful to see them again. One lady in particular. I haven't missed a Chris Dingle service for 6 years. I don't think she's here now. If you are, I'm really glad you came today. But unfortunately, she hasn't been any other time. It was almost, yes, I bring Jesus out at Christmas time, but I'm happy to put him in a cardboard box and put him up back in the loft or in the garage or wherever you keep your Christmas decorations. Friends, if you are here today, and yes, you do believe in the Christmas story, but that's all, then might I encourage you, you're making a mistake. The Christmas story is good news of great, great joy. So might I encourage you, if you are like that, may I encourage you to be like those shepherds and go out and find about Jesus. We're not sure that they were totally convinced at that time. They wanted to find more evidence, and they saw it by coming to seeing baby Jesus. Now, I said I was going to come back to why God originally came to just the shepherds. It could have been anyone, actually. Maybe I shouldn't put too much significance to the shepherds. But what the angel of the Lord said very clearly, that good news was... for everyone. That is everyone. That's for people as young as Mitzi, people as old as, and I won't look at whoever's the oldest person. It might well be me. No, it's not. I can see someone over there. Well, I know he's slightly older than me. but I don't think he holds the record. So it's for young and old. It's for men and women. It's for boys and girls. It's for those who've been in trouble with the police. It's for those who've never been in trouble with the police. It's for the good. It's for the bad. It's for people who've got terrible things that have happened in their life or they've done. And for others who, yes, we've not been perfect, but we've not done anything to. But you see, friends, Jesus, the good news of Jesus is for absolutely everyone. Why not? Why not, if you haven't said yes to Jesus yet, why not make it today, the day that you do welcome Jesus into your life. And if you're not quite yet, there are a number of little meetings that are going to happen in the next month or so for people who, a bit like the shepherds, who want to go and find out more. And finally, tell others about Jesus. And that, I would guess, is the reaction that's going to speak to most of us here in church today. The Bible talks about, in verse 17, that the shepherds were amazed of what they heard and they spread. Lots of different variations of the translation of this, but basically they told others about what they saw. Verse 18 tells us that others, when they heard it, were amazed. And were they convinced? Well, I think verse 20 is a bit of a giveaway. The way they went back. These hardened shepherds, they went back praising and glorifying God. And for those of us who have welcomed Jesus into your life, I wonder how much How much of a priority is it of telling others about Jesus? We've come to the end, just come to the end of one of the biggest opportunities, isn't there, we have throughout the year of making that first step of telling others about Jesus. I wonder how much effort we've put into that. How much effort, how much of it of our daily lives is put aside to telling others, of sharing the good news of Jesus with others, because that good news is worth sharing. It's good news of great joy, because we have a Saviour who has died for each one of us, conquered death, and given us the opportunity of a future and eternal fellowship with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. Amen.